Also part of my role is in recruitment. And so this fall I've gone to Colorado Christian University and Corbin University. And just to give you a rundown of what that looks like to be on campus, at Colorado Christian University I did 2 classes, 1 Bible study, 2 informal group gatherings, 3 evening events, and a pear and a partridge. Now I just messed it up. So in both of those schools, I've had the opportunity to sit down with students and hear what are their passions, what are they excited about, where God's leading them. And although I'd love for them all to go with Youth for Christ, I know that God's not calling them all to Youth for Christ. So I listen and I go, oh, you know, you need to go talk to this person over here. Or you need to go talk to this person over here with this agency. Because not everyone's going to be the right fit for Youth for Christ. And it really is about the big kingdom mindset. And I'm very fortunate that I have friends that are in missions and all kinds of different agencies, so I can say, yes, talk to my friends in New Tribes, Ethnos now. Talk to my friends at ABWE or MAF, or, you know, like, it's really amazing just to hear, you know, again, kids are excited, they're passionate. And it was really interesting in that I was part of a webinar training just recently that talked about the different generations. And so millennials, are there any millennials in here? Do you know if you're a millennial?
I'm the previous millennial.
So millennials are currently graduating college, have been graduating college, and they're very passionate and they want a cause and they want to figure out how can I impact the world. And so, you know, it's been really fun to hear some of the conversations they're having, because they're about social justice, a lot of them. So how can I make an impact in what I'm doing? And I've had a lot of millennials that have lived with me in the last couple of years. And, you know, the passion that they have is amazing. And I love that they desire to follow God with their whole heart in that. But the next generation that's coming up is ages 15 to -5 right now. So we're hitting the screener. It's Generation Z, which they're starting to call the screener, not screamer, screener generation. And there's some real big concerns with that, in that they're being raised in an era of time where they're very anxious because of what's going on in the world. So they're being told to try new things, but with all these safety elements around it. Go ride your bike, but make sure you put your helmet on, your knee pads, your elbow pads. You know, there's been several mass shootings recently. So, you know, being just afraid to go to school, or you have to go through metal detectors to even get into your school. So just that security is making them very anxious and concerned. And they're getting all their information through screens, whether it's through their phone, the TV, another computer screen. That's how they're engaging with the world as well. So the world, they're very connected in that way, and they will be very knowledgeable about the world in that way. So we're looking at how do we best minister to the kids that are coming up in this next generation. And what something that, this is just a side note, something else that was interesting in this webinar, I don't know if anybody's interested in generational studies, but there's a psychologist, I don't remember his field, that has done a lot of research, and he's seen that generations cycle in 4 years. And so, what's the generation before the baby boomers? The greatest generation. I think that could be the name. So, they went through World War II, and they're called the hero generation by this doctor. If you do the rotation, millennials are going to be a hero generation. Exactly. A lot of people think that. But there's, so the professor who I actually know was saying that there's going to be a big event happening here in the next 2 to 5 years that will cause the millennials to rise up into that as a hero. So, and I'm like, well, it's very possible in light of the world that's going on with us. So these kids, just giving you a little bit of understanding about kids and your own kids. But I did want to talk to you about Val. I think I've spoken about her before, but this summer, this past summer, she had the opportunity to go work with our Third Culture Kid Ministry, and I had a chance to sit down with her at Corbin and just hear how her time was. It totally was not what she was expecting. And God used that, like, as she was sharing with me, I'm going, I think I did not recruit her for what she thought she was going to do. It was totally different than how I explained it. But at the end, she told me it's exactly what God needed to do in my life. So she spent a lot of time with young adults. She got to see a lot of pieces of our ministry and get to know kids. But God had to do some work in her own heart. And I'm so glad that, you know, God was able to do that, even in the midst of doing an internship with us. And to really work in her life where she had a really full prior term. She had been sick part of the term. She's doing a master's and bachelor's program kind of in the same. Corbin has a combined program, so you can get a master's in 5 years. So she was overwhelmed. She was tired and stressed out. And here God put her in this place where she could have rest, but also see our ministry. And so God knew exactly what she needed, even though it wasn't what I explained to her, and probably didn't look at all like what I explained, but God knew what she needed, and I'm so thankful that God orchestrates it all and is in charge of it all. Any questions? I'm here till God directs me in some other way. So, and I've looked back on my life, that's where I've seen God. You know, I did 6 years in Germany, and then he directed, you know. So I'm here till God says, okay, now I'm moving you in this direction. So it could be forever. It could not be. I don't know. I mean, I really enjoy what I do. I love that I get to come alongside young people and share what opportunities there are.
But it definitely won't go beyond the rapture.
No, afraid not. Won't go beyond the rapture. Yeah.
So what you explained what does the training cycle look like for somebody new coming in?
Yeah. So if you were applying to be a missionary with Youth for Christ, you would somehow inquire, you know, whether it's through a conversation with me, getting to know you, it could be you connected with us online somehow, or one of our other recruiters, and you're like, I'm interested in going to Rwanda to do, and maybe you don't know where you want to go, so we work with you in that and try to discover what's a good placement for you based on your passions and some of, you know, what your likes are or dislikes, because there are people who want to go to certain places in the world, or maybe they shouldn't, and so we do that. Then you apply. So we have a thorough application process, application, reference forms, interview, and then we do a background check, followed up. If all that looks good, we invite you to what we call candidate orientation, and that's 3.5 days in Denver, and it's the final step in our application process. Prior to coming, we have you complete some assessments. There's about 5 or 6 of them, depending on if you're married or not. And during our time together at candidate orientation, we do go over those assessments. So those assessments aren't just for us. It also will help you to understand who you are, how God's gifted you, how God's created you. So there's personality, there's spiritual gift set, there's work style, there's a marriage, like how are you in your marriage as well. And so we have a counselor that walks through all those assessments, and you get so you learn actually a lot about yourself, and we learn a lot about you as well in that process. During candidate orientation, we also talk about all the things that Youth for Christ has to offer, how you're going to be paid, what our health insurance, retirement plan, how we take care of staff. We have a letter production department that puts together, you send in your text and they put together your letters and send them out so you can focus more on spending time doing the ministry that God's called you to do. Donation, processing, accounting, come in and share a little bit as well. We also sit down and talk about a budget. Where are you going? What are you going to need to live there and do ministry? And how are you going to live, give, save, and minister out of that budget? You know, so we don't want you to be on the field and trying to figure out, how am I going to have money for my next paycheck? So how are you able to live? And we also want you to be able to give, you know, to give to the ministry, to give maybe to other ministries, to give to the local ministry that you're a part of. We want you to be able to save. I remember as a teenager, and I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but it was, Christ is coming back in your lifetime. And I'm not saying, it could very well happen. But we also want to prepare our staff should, you know, Christ comes back later, you know, that they can retire so that they're saving for the future. And then we want them to be able to minister out of that budget to do the ministry that God, so it could be the supplies that they need for their letters, for the campus meetings they have, or the small group Bible studies they're doing, and they're going to have meals together, or camp costs. So what are the funds that they're going to need to do that? So we want them to be able to live, give, save, and minister out of that budget. And then we do fundraising training as well. So we don't, and I love it because I do lead a lot of that training, and we walk through it. And so we have them do some homework prior to coming. There's a good chunk set aside on how to raise funds, but then we don't kick them to the curb and say, okay, you're accepted, go raise your funds, come back to us when you're done. No, we're going to walk with you in that journey. And so I coach several staff that are currently raising funds. We have at least a monthly call, sometimes it's twice a month, and just checking in with them. What is God, how can we celebrate what God's doing? What are maybe some struggles or hurdles you're coming up against? And oftentimes we find they're coming up against the same struggles and hurdles. And so to tell them, you know what, you're not alone. I just spoke with so-and-so, and they're having that same issue. People don't answer their phones. They really don't. They check in, and you know, they may or may not call back. And then we're trying to look how, in this age of technology, how do we use that in raising funds? Because it is harder to get an appointment, even though we are very much the mindset of, by the most personal means that you can talk with somebody and share what God's doing, that's what we want you to do. So face-to-face is our first option. Then maybe it's a video call or a Zoom call, and then it's phone. And because the statistics show, when you sit down with somebody, you share your heart, and they can see your passion. They're most likely to say yes. Now, not everyone does, but most likely to. So at the end of the week, we give them an opportunity. We take some time to pray and discern with the Lord. You know, are they a good fit for Youth for Christ? Is Youth for Christ a good fit for them? And if they are, we send them an invitation to serve with Youth for Christ. And then if they say yes, they start working their training, their fundraising that they need to do. Great question. Any other questions?
What has been your favorite moment of this year?
Of this year? Of what God's done? One of my favorite stories is when, and I may have shared it, about Deanna. So a couple years ago, I was at a Youth for Christ camp, and up in Colorado, it was a high school camp, and I served as a photographer. I do photography as a hobby and enjoy it. And so throughout the week, I got to take pictures, and, you know, what teenager doesn't like to have pictures of themselves to post? So instant selfies kind of thing. So during the week, I got to take pictures, and Youth for Christ is very intentional about how their camps are set up. And so each day, everything's surrounded on a theme. So on the day that we're talking about sin, we're going to do, like, the game is going to be Muck Wars. So you're going to have kids on both sides of this field, and they're throwing gross, you know, it starts with chocolate syrup and eggs and whipped cream and flour. And then they have this stuff they call yuck. It's really gross. I don't even know what it is. It's just disgusting. People are throwing, and, you know, I'm trying not to get it on me. So you can understand. So we throw everything around a theme. Like, so in the evening, when the speaker's sharing about sin, they can go, okay, do you remember when you had all this yuck on you? That's what sin does in our life. It covers us with all this yuck. And that God doesn't want that in our life. But that's what we are. So throughout the week, we share the gospel slowly. And I met Deanna. She's from Kansas. And so So if you can imagine what it'd be like if your first family did not want you, can you imagine how heartbreaking that would be? So she was put into the foster care system, and she really didn't feel like her foster care family really wanted her either. And so I would have these interjections with her throughout the week, you know. So I met her on the first day, and then I was sitting by the fire, and she sat by me and shared a little bit more of her story. And then I'd run into her at another point, and she'd give me a little more glimpse. And, you know, Kelly's the photographer. I won't see her again. I can share a lot with her. But just asking her questions and really listening to what her story was. Again, back to that three story, you know, tell me more about yourself. What was it like growing up? Tell me about the, you know, what do you enjoy doing? And she has some abuse in her background. I think that's part of her foster care story, or going into foster care. And so on one of the last nights, we share the gospel, and we give the kids 15 minutes alone with God. And we do, so they are sent out. They actually shut all the power off at the camp. So they have, when we're lucky, no rain or crazy weather, they get to see the full sky in its spectrum. So they get to see it, all of God's creation. In an amazing way. But they are sent out. They've heard, you know, about the sin in their lives. They've heard that Jesus loves them and has died for them. And now they have a choice to make. Will they follow him and believe in him? So they can say yes to Jesus for the first time. They can say yes again. Maybe they said yes to Jesus before and they've stepped away. Well, they can say yes again. Or they could say no. And so they are sent out for that 15 minutes. And the speaker tells them, when you hear the bell ring, if you've said yes to Jesus, we want you to scream yes as loud as you can. So they send these kids out for 15 minutes alone with God, and it is quiet. Quiet. Like this quiet. And so I'm, you know, I walk out and I'm, you know, sitting there and praying for kids, and then you hear the dong of the bell. And then you hear this chorus of yeses. God's changing the lives of teens. And so I'm kind of wondering, okay, what choice has Deanna made? Well, the next day, we do give kids an opportunity to stand up if they said yes to Jesus. And guess who stands up? Deanna. She stands up. And then right after that, after we were done in that meeting, she came over and told me that she had said yes to Jesus. So that's one of my favorite stories, to, even though I wasn't direct, like, I got to be a part of her story. Yeah. Any other questions? Well, how can you pray for me? I know that was a question somebody had. or how can you be involved? Well, be praying for more workers for the harvest. Ask the Lord to send more workers. And then pray for students like Tadeo, who follow their parents around, who's a third culture kid who follows his parents around. And then pray for students. Maybe pray for yourself, that you would have courage to be like some of the young people that I shared about, that have the courage and the boldness and the urgency to share the gospel. I know it's a challenge in my own life, so maybe that's a prayer that you need to pray in your own life as well. So that's how you guys can pray. And yeah, that's all I have.